be on stage.
Can you tell us a little bit about the play, Tough?
Sure. Tough is the story of three young teenagers. Tina is a pregnant woman who has discovered that her boyfriend Bobby has been cheating, and her and her best friend, Jill, get together to confront Bobby about his infidelity. And during the course of this, they discover that Tina is pregnant. Jill tells Bobby that Tina's pregnant, and so it's all about dealing with that kind of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you choose this play?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm going to ask you as to why, but you kind of figured that.
Sorry. Why I chose it, because it's a very relevant issue today about figuring out what you're going to do with your life, how you're going to work it out, how it all fits together. Also, it's a very emotionally messy play. It's really in your face, and so it's just it was just a really good thing. There's no bullshit. There's no any kind of coolness. It's not a cool play. It's just about getting out there and working with the actors and mm-hmm. doing something real.
Okay. And as well, the play you found it was written for, like, what was your target market per se when the play was being, when you did direct it, so you're pretty much.
The play was originally written in 1993 for Green Thumb Theatre Company, which is a theatre company in Vancouver who does theatre for young audiences.
Oh, okay.
So originally it toured in schools or played predominantly for teenagers. Okay. By doing it in the Fringe, I don't have access as much to that kind of audience market. Right. So their parents mostly come. Like, I have people coming in and mm-hmm. saying, for example, one of the characters, Bobby, mm-hmm. and mothers coming in and saying, oh, my son's like Bobby, what do I do? So,
As a director, do you feel that the play adequately depicted youth today?
I think it depicts a percentage of youth. Mm-hmm. The play is written from George F. Walker is a working class guy. Wow. He comes from East End Toronto. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's particular to certain sects. Mm-hmm. There's less lower class issues, I would say, I guess, in Canada than they are, say, in the States. Okay. I don't know.
Understood.
Teen pregnancy like that. Mm. But, you know, I don't know.
That was an issue in the play.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, I was just wondering, who do you find yourself relating more to with the characters that were involved in
the
play?
Me, personally? I personally relate to Jill, who is the friend.
Yeah.
Who's a little... she's a little angry at me,
yeah.
shall we say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, can you tell us, those of us who didn't get to see the play, just a little bit of what the play was about so they can get an idea of what it is we're discussing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tough takes place in real time in a city park. As I said, Tina discovers that the love of her life, Bobby, has been fooling around with another woman. And she decides to confront him about his infidelity. Mm-hmm. Jill, her closest friend and Bobby's nemesis, mm-hmm. joins Tina to provide moral and physical support. And in addition to dealing with her unfaithful boyfriend, Tina is also coping with this knowledge of an unplanned pregnancy.
Sounds like a soap opera, it does.
Yeah, but because of the writing, it doesn't end up being like that.
Oh, it does.
It's really... it's real. It's in the language of youth. It's not in some highfalutin theater language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we find out towards the end of the play that Tina decides not to relieve Bobby of his paternal responsibility, and she decides mm-hmm. she's going to take care of the baby herself,
mm-hmm.
and she'll do it no matter how hard it is, and she'll try to have whatever life she can have. And Jill, the friend, realizes that she can maybe...
You know,
I understand Bobby, you know, maybe Bobby has a position, he's just not ready to be a father, mm-hmm. you know, and that's perfectly valid, as is Tina's.
Okay, there was one particular scene where Bobby was trying to explain his feelings to his girlfriend. He was trying to explain his need to be with her and other women, And to give us their perspective, their male perspective, we have Rial.
What's up, Rial?
And we'd like to, as a youth, we'd like you to express how you felt the character Bobby.
Yes, representative of the youth, yes, to follow up on what Jackie was saying.
Well, I think Bobby was just like a stereotypical frustrated young man. I could sort of relate to Bobby in a way. I mean,
why is that, other than the fact that you are a male?
I don't know. I can kind of understand his frustrations. Maybe I haven't had as many frustrations as he had, but I could sort of see myself in his shoes. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of Bobby. I think I've seen some Bobbies.
In your lifetime?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did get a chance to take in the play. I found that Bobby was frustrated trying to get through all the confusion between his girlfriend and the friend and making it understand. I mean, it was almost like he was breaking up with two people. And, you know, that is common in today's relationships. I understood where he was coming from, not just because I am male. I also... You know, I mean, he had a kid with her. He had to deal with that. That's the realness of it. And the relationship, I can't say it got in the way. It was just, there was a lot of confusion around that. So it doesn't matter what came up after. If they couldn't deal with that, everything else that followed would be based on, you know, shaky grounds. So, Jackie, how do you feel about Jill and Tina, their relationship?
Okay, I found Jill and Tina to be almost a typical girlfriend, best friend relationship. They would stick together, but Jill in the play was just a little bit aggressive. She was that friend who was very outspoken, and in turn, Tina was the one who seemed to try to please both of them. So she was caught in between that. For a time, as we see, she's trying to tend to Bobby, trying to make sure he's okay in this argument, and then she's trying to tend to her friend, trying to make sure she understands that she's okay with this argument. But to the end, I am still not sure if she made that decision completely by herself or through the influences of her friend. And yes, I too have seen a lot of Jill's and a lot of Tina's, and this what made the play real for me, and the language as well. It was sort of harsh at times, but it grabbed you. It was a really good play, which can be seen on tomorrow evening, is it?
Yeah. Tomorrow evening, Wednesday, July 7th at 7:30 p.m., Friday, July 9th at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and Saturday, July 10th at 6 p.m.
And where?
At the Helen Gardner Phelan Playhouse, which is located at 79A St. George Street, which is St. George and Harvard. And for more information, you can call the Fringe Hotline at 534-5919.
And that's 416, again, 534-5919.
Devin Horton, dear pastor.
Pastor Rose, behind them almost before them head when I see Sister Queenie and one foot better large Lee.
Starring Gloria Savage, Gerald Nagelmore's Judy Picox on Saturday, July 10th at 8:30 and Sunday, July 11th at 6 p.m.
Dear pastor.
Playing at Meadowvale Theater, 6350 Montevideo Road at Battleford and Aaron Mill Parkway, Mississauga.
Special performance by Jerry Thompson. For more information, call 246-1989. 246-1989.
Brought to you by CHR. Dear pasta,
he's sweet, in tribute to Dudley Law's Brave Fighter for Justice, a variety concert and outdoor barbecue featuring songs and poetry, drumming and dance, steel pan bands, hip-hop, speeches by mothers of victims of police shootings, plus a special video of the Black Action Defense Committee. Come out Saturday, July 10th, 1999. 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., Oakwood Collegiate, 991 Sinclair Avenue West at Oakwood. All welcome.
Welcome back. We're here with another play from the Fringe Festival. It is called Reunion, and we're speaking with the two main actors of that play, the father and the daughter. And we're speaking with the daughter, who's Tiffany. The father is Barry, and Calvin's back in the house. Say hello.
Yo, 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 what's up? It's Calvin. He's back. He's live in the air. Hey. How's it going, everybody?
Hey.
Before we start, I'd like to say it's been a while, but we're back live in the air. We're going to talk more about this play called Reunion. Say, we have Barry and Tiffany here. Say hi, guys.
Hi, how you doing?
Tell us more about this play that you guys are talking about.
Tiffany, you do the talking.
Okay. Basically, it's about my character, Carol, who has come to see her father for the first time since she was four, and he left at that time, so it's been about 20 years.
He's been 20 years on the bottle, and in the last 3 years, he's stopped drinking. So at the moment, he's clean and sober, and she finds him.
Yeah, through the AA.
So where will this be playing at?
At the Tarragon Main Space, 30 Bridgeman Avenue.
Okay, and is it like one day or is it more than one day?
No, we've got Wednesday night at 9:30, Friday at 2 p.m., Saturday at 12:30 noon, and Sunday night at 9:30 p.m.
And you have a number as well? You could be reaching the hotline number?
Yeah, the Fringe hotline number is 534-5919.
Oh, okay, it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's a Fringe hotline.
At this time, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Tiffany and Barry are going to act out a scene for us.
Yeah, we'll do the first scene of the play.
Yeah. Okay. So we can let it speak for itself, or we can set it up a bit if you want.
Yeah,
if we can get a little set up.
Okay, this is the first meeting. It's early March, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
this is
and what's happened is Carol, in the play, the daughter, right, has sent her husband to meet with Bernie and set this meeting up. He hasn't actually seen his daughter in all this time. And she appears on the at the entrance. It's been arranged, but this is how it goes. If we can remember.
Yeah, I think we can remember.
Okay.
Quantum set.
I would have recognized you anywhere. It is you, isn't it, Carol? Is that you? Oh, you haven't changed a bit. I would have recognized you anywhere. This is a very important moment, but there's no reason why we should have it in the hall, so let me take your coat. Ah, I feel like a racehorse. You ever go to the track? Well, that's what I feel like. If I was still drinking, I'd offer you a drink. If I was still drinking, you probably wouldn't be here. That's all right.
Bernie.
Oh, you're not going to call me Dad or like that? Thank God. So here we are.
Yes.
So how you been?
Fine.
Great.
You?
Since the last time you saw me, mainly bad, lately good. You look wonderful.
You don't look so bad yourself for an old man. You take good care of yourself.
Well, I better. Who else is going to take care of me? The VA, of course. They took pretty good care of me, I'm forced to admit. They take good care of you in the hospital. I still see them for my back. The guys at AA, I don't see them much anymore. They took pretty good care of me. I hated those son of a bitches. Frank over at the place, he took care of me for a while. Five here, 10 there. He gave me a job. Knows the restaurant business like the back of his hand. I've been a very lucky guy.
You've got a lot of friends, Bernie.
Always have. For some reason, you take pretty good care of yourself.
Got to.
Yeah.
The AA are the ones who put us in touch with you. Jerry went. He said they seemed like very nice people.
Very contrite. You still go to church?
No, nobody goes to church anymore. You still go to church?
I never went to church since I was a kid. Easter.
We should both go. Renew our faith. Jerry goes to church.
Oh, yeah? Does he mean it?
Who knows?
He might mean it. You never know. Some of them mean it.
Yeah!
Very, very good. Thank you.
Now, if you guys like that out there, we have two free tickets. Come and see the show. If you're free July 9th at 2 p.m., we've got two free tickets. They're not exactly front row. It's just any seat you can get. You know, first come, first serve. And there's no latecomers because it's really quick. Get
in. And it's really cool there because it's not only because of the play written by David Mamet, but because it's air-conditioned. So it's 100% cool.
Yes. So can you tell us more, like, what came up, how did you guys come up with the idea of the story?
Well,
We've actually been trying to get this into festivals for a while. We've tried three times.
And that's why we call ourselves Try Again. we're very literal. It's a play that both of us have really been fond of. It's early David Mamet, and it's sort of before the legend. It's before he's won the awards that he's won for
before
the
Wag the Dog, before Glengarry Glen Ross. And he was unknown at the time.
Yeah, and it's just a beautiful play. It goes anywhere you want it to go. You know, it's he doesn't preach. He doesn't tell you what to think. You just kind of follow these people in their reunion. It's set up so that it's done in 14 different scenes, and it's at Bernie's pad, and you make your own decision when you see it as to how it's going or where it's going.
They're like little pieces of the afternoon, so it certainly isn't the whole thing, because there's something that happens in between each scene which you're left to imagine on your own. So right. We just see little moments throughout the day.
Transitions between the scenes where the audience can see us kind of move about and change the scene and then segue into the next sequence, you know.
And it's interesting with the lights, because you see that the day is growing older, and by the end of the day it's sunset. So time has passed. It's not real time, which is really, interesting, I think.
What would you say is the time frame of the...
I would say it's a good long afternoon. I'd say from... in one day. That is the one thing
Get talking into that.
It does happen in one day, but you're very much left to imagine what could happen afterwards, because it doesn't... We don't leave it with a definite. They could or could not continue their relationship, which is certainly up to each audience
That's
member
great.
To decide.
It's the suspense of it.
Yeah.
If there was a need or an appeal for a part two, I mean, of course.
And it's very much, Mamet dialogue that everyone talks about. It's really interesting.
Yes, how it they was script. Very intense, because when I was listening to you guys do it, I was like, wow, that is like, I'm in a booth beside them overhearing this, and I shouldn't
yes.
be.
Yeah, yes. It's personal. It's very personal.
We've had a lot of people say that they really felt that they're watching two people in a room.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going for.
It's good. I'm still kind of taken by it. I'm going to need a moment here, yeah.
Very personal moments that you're overlooking, which is interesting.
How long have you guys been running this play been running?
We've had three shows already. Mm-hmm. We did some workshopping of it about a year and a half ago, but it's grown so much since then.
Yeah, we've
had a really great director, too.
Yeah, so. Sean Curran is the director.
T-shirts are nice, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good
made
designer.
Him myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is there a message for youth or a message that you would leave the play with? Is there a message?
Again, I think it's, I think that if, for instance, if people wanted to call in for a ticket, I think it would be the people that that sense this situation. What's it like for a young person, say, to be denied having a family or a father in this case, a lot of desertion goes on, right, with young people, and a lot of people have that question: what would it be like? Some people are better off, but I think that if this theme appeals to anybody, then what they do is they bring what their life has, where their life has led them, they bring it to the theater, and they go with. They go away with what Mamet gives them and what it means to them. So that's what I meant by not preachy or.
But at the same time, I mean, Carol really needs to find her father, because she's got this void inside of her where she never had a father. And I think that's a message, too. This is something that she has to do.
Is that something you found personally, or did they actually depict that through the play?
I think it's in there. I think it's really strong that this woman needs... She needs this in her life. She needs her father.
And I can see that you've really, adapted yourself to her.
Oh, yeah.
To speak about her like she's a person.
Oh, Carol's real. Yeah, she is to me.
Yeah, and he's been denied, too, by his choice or lack of it. And it's very, very important that he's been a World War II vet, and that he was a... tail gunner in the Second World War, and the danger for those people was
mental. I mean, just coming out of
incredible,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, and actually,
to deal with your daughter, you know, that's a lot. Yeah. A lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's quite slight.
It's very dramatic, and then it had that comedy edge to it.
That's
there
it.
Is.
Yeah, so yeah. Good, like, you want to laugh a bit, you know, and
that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
something that's going to draw a lot of people because I mean, to just get drama, you can watch it on TV.
That's what's so mammoth. The first night we had a really nice crowd opening night, and we had so much laughter, which we've never heard before in rehearsals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that was really that was really I know it was unnerving. But it was so interesting because what the audience were saying was that, you know, they could so relate to the situation, and that's why some of the things that we're saying, there's so much out of nervousness and tension that they end up being really funny situations, you know? Yeah.
Well, I said I was going to have free tickets, and I didn't give the number away. So it's 595-1655 and the 416 area code. So two free tickets still here available, 595-1655.
And don't forget, we are also on the web. It's CKLN, www. Of course, sac.ryerson.ca. And we're live on the web as well.
We're going to take a little break.
Oh, yes, we're back.
After those lovely sounds of water, you know, it's usually very calming. It's, no, I know there's a lot of stressed audience out there, but we're just calming down the audience in this great heat. That's why we're bringing water. Live to air. You know, water.
We still have the tickets.
Oh, yeah, 595-1655 in the 416 area.
What do you got to lose? Take your chance for happiness. Come on.
And that's a line from the play.
That's mammoth.
That's got to be mammoth.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Yourself?
I'm chilling, man.
All right.
And your name is? What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling for myself right now, but my name's Paul.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
I'd love to check out the Mammoth. I'd love to check out what you guys are doing with it.
Oh, okay, great, sure. Great. Well, you are the first guy to get the tickets. You got two free tickets to Reunion.
Excellent.
July 9th at 2 p.m. at the Tarragon Main Space Theater.
And when do they pick their tickets up?
Yeah, well I think we can arrange that with some sort. Oh, yeah, you want to pick the tickets up here? How far are you?
I can't do it right now.
Okay, we'll have to get...
Well, you got till Friday.
All right, beautiful. And which day is the performance?
Friday
at 2 p.m.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and absolutely no one coming late. It's the nature of the venue, so be on time and enjoy it. And see us after the performance. We'd like that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Could you just stay on hold? We're going to have to get some information from you.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Hold on. And we're still here. Yes. Well, we have Paul on hold there. There's the tickets are gone, so please don't call back in.
We couldn't handle that many phone calls.
It was first come, first serve. Same as the seats, you know.
Great. Yes, so we're going to have to take another commercial break. We can get those water sounds out of the way and whatnot. And we'll be right back.
with her eyes closed. But her brother doesn't say much at all. Her brother doesn't say much at all. And Rudy's not normal. He confessed there's no normal at all. Gets acquainted with himself every morning.
Okay, and we're back. We're here live again. We're still here with Barry and Tiffany. And they were just going into depth about the Fringe itself and how you, I mean, if young playwriters out there are directors and want to get your stuff noticed and get out there, get some exposure, they're just telling us a little bit how you can go about doing that. So, anybody?
For sure. It's really open to everybody. 93 companies are performing this year in the Fringe. It's a lottery, so anyone can enter. It's, what is it, $400 and some?
It's around $500 to get in,
yeah.
So everybody pools that's interested in doing it.
You can only enter once.
Yeah.
But if you get pulled, you get your venue, your lights, your sound for $500.
Wow.
Which is wonderful. So it's great for anyone who wants to start out in theater, especially writing and directing,
right.
Because it doesn't matter who you are. You've got a fair chance to get in.
And
we
know from having not won the lottery until the third time that they give you your check back. So it's cool.
Yeah. If you don't get in, you don't lose your money.
You don't lose your shirt.
Yeah.
It really is. And also what they do is... Everything at the box office is the company's.
You get your money
producing.
Back.
So
yeah.
they do say that a success at the Fringe is breaking even, and it's up to you to do word of mouth and get around and poster.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what
do
we do, and be on shows like this. And we just heard about this afternoon, and here we are, and it's a pleasure.
Yeah, this all takes place in February as well, so there's lots of time to plan. It's not any last minute sort of thing.
What do they have to come with? Like, what has to be in their packet? I know they have to have their play, but what?
Oh, you don't necessarily have to. Actually, a lot of people do a to be announced, depending on what if we couldn't get the rights to the play. So they just put their name and their company name in.
Yeah,
one
of the things that we thought of, for example, was that we wanted to do Mamet's play,
right.
But we didn't know if we would get the rights, you know, for any strange reason. Mm-hmm. So what we thought was, well, what we could do, because we were working on it, is we would improvise around the play as we rehearsed, and if we were refused, we would do an evening searching for David Mamet, you know. So it's really open-ended. It's whatever your imagination, where it can take you, and there's no favorites.
There's also bring your own venue, and I'm not sure how many companies are partaking, but there's a number of them. That's not lottery. That's you find your own venue, and you approach the Fringe, and that's some first-come, first-served basis.
And you have to find that, I believe, in the Annex area.
Yes. So there's one at the JCC, and there's another one at the Bloor Cinema, that sort of thing.
We're about to wrap up, I think.
Yeah.
So that's Calvin.
So there you go.
Well, I'd like to thank Barry and Tiffany. Thanks, man.
Hey, it's good to meet you. You know my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well... RP Plus Radio is brought to you by Regional Park Focus Community Coalition. iVideo is also sponsored by. Oh, yeah, and Catch the Flavor Youth Produced Newspaper. We also like to thank CKLN for bringing us here because, you know, anybody could just kick us out. But anyways, yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Yes, everybody say your hellos.
Yes, Jacqueline, yes, it was nice working with you once again. This is Synonymous, and we're signing off.
Thank you.
Thanks.
could.